Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Welcome to Who Weekly, the podcast where you'll learn everything you need to know about celebrities you don't. I'm Lindsay Weber.
I'm Bobby Finger.
And welcome back to another edition of us taking your calls and hearing your voices and listening to your complaints and honestly doing not a lot about it except for listening.
I'm not going to use it as call you're doing amazing, sweetie. I just want to talk about it. My favorite call of this week actually was the call where someone just, I'm not going to play it.
Don't.
Maybe I will. Where the caller just called in and read Halsey's tweet about being in A Star Is Born.
Just like, I don't even know what to do with this. You do something with this.
I guess now is a good time to finally tell you guys that I have a little cameo in A Star Is Born. Thank you so, so much to Gaga and Bradley for including me. It was an honor to watch both of your talent and dedication on set. An all-time life highlight for me, for sure.
I guess what I was most confused about, we don't have to talk about this because, like, this is not, I mean, I guess this kind of is.
We can always talk about it. We can always
A Star Is Born segment
it.
Or
yep,
whatever.
Yep, yep.
A segment is born starring Lady Gaga, produced, mm-hmm. whatever it's called. Halsey's playing herself.
Yes.
So in the world of A Star Is Born, Halsey is one of the like pop stars that exists.
Yes. Halsey is one
herself.
Is one of Ali's contemporaries.
See, I'm a little upset because I can't escape Halsey even in a movie about pop stars.
I would be more upset if Halsey were the star. Because if anything, Ali is going to be more famous than Halsey, and I appreciate movies where someone becomes more famous than Halsey. You know?
I mean, it's not fiction. It's also you know, real life. Okay.
It just shows that Bradley Cooper is a genius, honestly.
I just don't understand how Halsey got the call versus, like, I don't know, any other pop star
that
could...
They filmed these things at Coachella, didn't they? Isn't she in the Coachella scene?
Maybe. She was performing at Coachella,
and
they were like, hey,
backstage, and
can we grab you for this... moment where
there's probably a scene where Gaga's gonna perform, Ali is gonna perform, and she goes on after Halsey or something, and Halsey's like, great job girl, she has one line.
No, she's probably says like, you'll never be as famous as me, Halsey.
Maybe Ali is being very rude to her and Bradley Cooper just edited in that clip.
Do you think Bradley Cooper saw that clip and said, I don't even need an audition, Halsey, you're hired?
It wouldn't surprise me if Bradley Cooper is familiar with those sorts of memes.
I don't even know what you're trying to say, but that
you
he
know
does
what
his
I'm
research,
trying to say.
That he does his research, then yes, I agree.
We should probably start the episode, I think.
Not for nothing, but I've been in press since 8 o'clock in the morning. I have a whole day of interviews to do, and I'm still doing them. I would never just walk by you and not meet you, so to abuse me like that online is kind of fucked up. I have a lot more interviews to do, and I promise I'm going to meet people. But please don't be mean to me. I have a very busy day, too, okay? So it really makes me upset. Please don't be mean to me.
Hey, Bobby and Lindsay. First time, long time. Just listening to your most recent episode where you go into The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. First of all, I love that guy. He thought C.S. Lewis was still alive. Like, literally. I was like, he's dead. He was best friends with J.R.R. Tolkien. Anyway, I'm not a nerd. So... you guys are talking about Anna Popplewell as being someone that you don't know, and let me tell you, I know her very well because she is the beautiful Lola in the wonderful CW television show Rain, which was on for 4 seasons. I can't believe you guys didn't have that in the show. Honestly, it's like one of the hooiest shows ever. I am personally obsessed with it because, again, not a nerd. But, like, Adeline Kane, who's this, like, weird, beautiful Australian actress. She's Mary Stewart. And then, like, there's all of these random people, like, Rose Williams, so hooey. She's Princess Claude. Like, oh, Rachel Scarsden. She's Queen Elizabeth I. Like, these are, like... This is the freshman class for, like, the older who's of the next generation, and I just think that you guys should give it a little bit more attention. Good form, Bella Thorne. Bye.
I love to learn about new who's that I didn't know about, who's that star in quote-unquote prestige television for teenagers on the CW. I don't mean that like derogatorily. I just mean like Rain is like, it's like Game of Thrones adjacent, but for...
Yeah, it's about Mary Queen of Scots. The only Mary Queen of Scots I pay attention to is Saoirse Ronan. So don't even get me started on the CW's version of Mary Queen of Scots.
I bet, honestly, the CW's version of Mary Queen of Scots is more fun than...
What's Margot Robbie crying. I don't need any of that. You're right. I want to watch Rain now. My favorite thing about Rain is that you look at the show and you look at the title card and it looks very, like you said, looks very prestige. It's got kind of that, like, what do you call the flourish at the bottom of old-timey signatures? Like when they're like, you know, when they're done.
What?
When they're done writing the signature and they go and they make all the loops. Like it's like,
using a quill pen.
If you wrote Lindsay with a quill pen, but then you spent just as much time as you took to write Lindsay.
I know what
as
you're
you
talking about.
Loopy loopies.
Sure.
Whatever. So it says Rain with the loopy loopies underneath. And then you're like, okay, this kind of looks like a prestige show. I didn't know about this. And you read like, oh, it's about the early life of Mary Queen of Scots. Cool. It consists of all these actors from other countries, like British actors, Australian actors. Okay, cool. And then historical romantic drama, fine. This seems like a show for adults. And then you scroll down to the opening theme. The opening theme of Rain is Scotland by the Lumineers. And it's like, okay.
What's your problem?
My problem is, oh, right, this is a show for children. You could never feel my story. It's all you know. You could never
feel my story. It's all. I don't think it's a show for like children, but it's definitely like we have the if you love Game of Thrones or Outlander or shows like that, you can find shows like that across all channels for different audiences. So like this is like for this audience, right? Like I watch Outlander because I want, you know, to see some time travel, historical, hardcore killing and somewhat hardcore sex. So if I did not want the hardcore version of that, I could go to Rain and see a similar vibe, but you know, more PG rated.
Okay, that's good. Okay,
but I do want to look up the people eventually in this show when I have
eventually
the time. Eventually, not now, not for this program.
Eventually. Thank you, caller. We will look into this eventually.
We got
a great surprise in the recurring cast. So you've got like who at all these like famous people, including Anna Popplewell as Lady Lola. But then you have Amy Brenneman as Mary Stewart's mother.
Amy Marie Brenneman? Deniz. Love Amy Brenneman.
You've convinced me.
I mean,
leftover stand reporting for duty.
We got.
Remember her death? Ugh.
Are you kidding? She was like the best TV actress of last year. Like I'm happy that she's an occurring role on CW show.
Are we sure it was her and not Carrie Coon? I thought we came to a conclusion that it was Carrie Coon. You think Amy Brenneman was the number
really
one of
come on,
leftover
she was,
season three?
She was really good though.
She was great in it.
You could make the argument, like, looking back on Leftovers, that Amy Brenneman was better than Carrie Coon.
Okay, I will give you that, now that I think about it.
But you could make the argument.
Amy Brenneman's character kind of went all over the place. Carrie Coon was a steady pace.
I love that we're like, let's take a show that no one we know watches and talk about another show that no one watches. Like, oh, you haven't heard of Rain? How about The Leftovers that had, like, four viewers and two of them are, like, talking to you right now.
Next call.
Hi, Lindsay and Bobby. Breaking news in the Fan Bang Bang situation. According to the website whatsonweibo.com, Fan Bang Bang has allegedly been arrested. So basically, this guy on Weibo, who's the ex-husband of another famous Chinese actress, posted some breaking news. I just spoke to a friend whose wife works at the Wuxi prosecutor's office, who has confirmed that Fan Bingbing has indeed been arrested. And then this article also talks about how apparently it's illegal to spread rumors on Chinese social media. So if they're not true or like malicious, he could go to jail. So he also talked about how, like, he wouldn't post anything false, and It's just like blowing up on Weibo, apparently. And then the article also talks about how apparently she had a visa approved for America, and like nobody understands like why she wouldn't be there if she hadn't been arrested. So it seems pretty legit. So dark times for Fan Bing Bing and the Fan Bing Bing fandom. Good form, Bella Thorne.
This is really fascinating. Oh my god.
I found the What's on Weibo. It's still rumors. It's
maybe
rumors.
Like taken in for questioning or maybe. Like taken in to so you found this is the news, but then I found this amazing thing where
the Jackie Chan thing.
I love this.
The Jackie Chan. Everyone's saying that Jackie Chan told Fan Bing Bing to go to America to like like seek asylum. And now Jackie Chan's like, I never said that. Like, leave me out of this. Keep me out of this narrative.
She also reportedly was cited applying for asylum at LAX. Like, by a fan.
Was at LAX?
Yeah, that's what it says. So they said, because, and also this person says that that she also has asylum, like that she should be in America because she has the paperwork. So she was in LAX, according to a fan, at the Customs Border Protection Office, applying for asylum. And then Chinese social media said that she had done so because Jackie Chan told her to. And then they were like, Jackie Chan, why are you doing that? And he was like, I did not do that. So this is just getting crazy. He probably did tell her to do that. I wouldn't do it. I would just tell her. I'd be like, hey, you should probably come to America. We don't care about tax evasion. We literally love tax evasion over
here.
We're
so obsessed with tax evasion.
God, we're like, anywhere you could go to evade your taxes.
We hate taxes, and we go out of our way to not pay them.
Literally, you go to any of our 50 states, well, you could find somewhere to go.
Okay, next call.
Hi, Who Weekly. Long time, long time. I just saw something about the blonde salad. Who is she? I guess she's getting married this weekend. Can you please tell me who the blonde salad is? Thank you. Bye, my gay boys.
Hi, my gay boys. We've talked about the blonde salad in the past, but I feel like we did not do her justice.
Well, we like really didn't. There was really not news about her that was interesting, if I remember correctly. Somebody had just called and said, like, who is the blonde salad? And mm-hmm. we were like, oh, a fashion blogger, clearly. Like, yeah. We did the first level of research because nothing really had happened with her. Mm-hmm. Turns out she's like kind of an interesting figure, and maybe the difference between a kind of Instagram celebrity based out of America and based elsewhere, because mm-hmm. she's a very Italian. European person.
So her Instagram fame, in the way that it's not always the case with American Instagrammers or like fashion influencers, her Instagram fame is supported with an actual like tangible business, like a recognizable business model, which is like she has a fashion line. She has several fashion lines. So she makes actual money, and she has like a creative job outside of the Instagram fame.
But she started the fashion line
after she became a famous blogger. So she was like a law student in Milano. And then in 2009, started this fashion blog on the side. It got really popular because guess what? She's like pretty. So right. She does this double duty. She becomes famous because she's pretty. She becomes famous because she's a model. She becomes famous because she's also a designer, and she's just a blogger that people like to read. Then she turns it into this like multi-million dollar empire. Then she becomes like a cultural figure. Then she meets a rapper named Fedez. So like FedEx, but with a Z.
Who's also Italian.
They have a baby together. Early this year, you said? It was in March of this year?
The baby looks like he's about like almost 1 year old.
Yeah. They have a baby, they get engaged, and they just got married.
So they're kind of, this is an example where two pretty famous people come together and make like a super famous couple because just that they're mm-hmm. together. Like you were reading about him a little bit. He's kind of like not the most beloved musician, just like kind of good and fine and known.
I found this Reddit thread of like an Australian person being like, hey, Italians, what's the deal with Fedez? Is he actually like well-liked or what? And every response, who knows if these are actual Italians, was like, he's fine. Like
he's on people, The Voice, right?
Yes.
He's a voice.
He's on The Voice X Factor, I believe.
Oh, X Factor. Okay, but that's like a big deal. That kind of is like when you represent your country on your country's version of the X Factor, The Voice, that's kind of like, even if your music is like whatever, that's a big boost in terms of celebrity.
Yes. And so he, people were saying, so he's like Justin Bieber, but in Italy. And then these commenters are like, well, no, because Justin Bieber, I'm quoting them, they were like, he was like a douchebag. Like, Fedez doesn't seem like a bad guy. He's just sort of boring. Like, his mm-hmm. music is just very easy pop, mm-hmm. hip-hop. Like, yeah. very easily digestible hip-hop. He's had, like, several number one albums.
He proposed to the salad via rap, right?
Via a rap. So he mm-hmm. rapped at her in a tux mm-hmm. on stage at a concert.
Amazing.
Then he proposed, and now they are married, and she wore a couture Dior dress. And mm-hmm. Harper's Bazaar UK Instagrammed it, her and her couture wedding dress. And Stefano Gabbana, one half of Dolce & Gabbana, commented... Cheap.
Which honestly drew more attention to the wedding and the dress mm-hmm. itself. So honestly, she got more press because like Stefano Gabbana's out here like losing his mind, like commenting like ugly and cheap on everyone's Instagram pictures or whatever.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm not the person to be talking about fashion or the way you talk about fashion. But objectively, there's nothing less cheap than that dress. In terms of actual
literally, like,
monetary value.
Especially if you just read the description of the dress, which is in the description of the Instagram, you're like, mm-hmm. wow, that looks like it might be a very expensive dress.
It looks like one of your most expensive options when it comes to getting married.
Anyways, maybe Stefano Gabbana isn't a fan of Instagram famous people. I will say what's cool about Kiara or the Blonde Salad is that she is the CEO of her own company, which is rare. Yeah. Usually you're just the figurehead, which mm-hmm. is also totally fine, but she just happens to want to run the company. And so it's not an easy job, I don't think. Like it's, yes. I was saying this to Bobby earlier, it reminds me of The Intern, you know, the movie The Intern that
yeah,
the Nancy
I know
Myers
the movie,
movie
The Intern.
I know you do, but like, do people know it? Anyways, like one of the plot lines is like Anne Hathaway wants to be the CEO of her own company. And they're like, no, you cannot, you shouldn't be the CEO of your own company. Like you're not good enough to be the CEO of your own company. And she's like, oh, but like I am. And it's this whole thing. Anyways.
And then doesn't she take CEO at the end?
She does. That's like the ending. But it's this whole thing where it's like, you know, like you can still run the company, but you could be the figurehead. Like we yeah, still want like, you to be part of this.
You're too busy
and she's
to
like,
be CEO.
No. Yeah. yeah. Anyways.
The last thing I want to say about the Blonde Salad is how she came up with the name Blonde Salad.
This is great.
So let's read a direct quote from the Blonde Salad herself. I came up with the name Blonde Salad because I wanted something that represented me. At the time, I was even blonder, like blonde. And I wanted my blog to be a mixture of everything, like a salad.
Jeez. So if you thought,
truly,
oh, is it because she's blonde Smart. And loves salad? The answer is kind of.
It's close.
Do you think blonde like salad makes more sense in like Italian? No.
The Italian salad?
No, just like in Italian language.
I don't think like, this. I don't think this even exists in Italian.
Right. Because it like, doesn't yeah, exist in American either.
I feel like the language would reject that term.
It's
like
just
whatever
great
the translation
to me.
Is.
Because she took just words that are like in the, you know, like a word scramble of like words, like uplifting and like words for women, like words. She like went into the word bubble and was like, I'll take blonde and I'll take salad, you know?
Do you want to hear blonde salad in Italian? Thanks yeah. to Google Translate. Listen.
Insalata bionda.
Insalata bionda.
Perfect. Also, don't order that at a restaurant because you'll get disgusting salad.
Insalata bionda.
Oh, thank you.
Hey, Who Weekly. This is Carly calling after work from a frantic Snapchat message from the guy that I'm dating asking if I knew about the rapidly developing Vanilla Ice story. He said that Vanilla Ice is like stuck on a plane in New York that is back from Mecca, as in like the Mecca. And there's like 100 people on the plane and they're all really sick, so they're not letting them off the plane, but Vanilla Ice is on it, and I haven't had time to do any of my own research, but I thought you may want to know. Also, this could all be a lie because the guy that I'm dating doesn't normally know anything about this kind of thing. I should get him to listen to the podcast. Thanks so much. Love you so much. Bye.
The guy you're dating is not lying to you. Also, imagine like having the skill to make up such a perfect lie where it's like there's a contagion plane and Vanilla Ice is on it. Like that's just too many details to be a lie.
Also, caller, She said, the guy doesn't normally know about this kind of thing. It's like, what is this kind of thing? Vanilla Ice on a quarantine plane? When have we seen this before?
Okay, so yesterday we have like a group text and it's like 99% like pop culture garbage and A Star Is Born memes and like just the worst. Bobby slides in with the like contagion plane, like not the Vanilla Ice aspect of it, just like the fact that it is contagion plane. He's like, contagion, like link to plane. And then everyone's, you know, like has to make like a bad, uncomfortable joke about like how we're all going to die or whatever.
And how like Gwyneth Paltrow's patient zero.
Yeah, remember, they pull her face back. Anyways, this is all her fault. So there was a plane landed. I love Contagion.
Her one of her best performances. She's so a perfect casting in Contagion.
Also, it's like, that movie is
it's
perfect.
Like casting Drew Barrymore in Scream. It, when Gwyneth Paltrow dies, it's like,
and then the end?
Zero. Oh my God, the end. With the camera.
It's a perfect movie. Anyways.
It's the best movie.
Jude Law's teeth. Oh God, perfect movie. Jude Law is a blogger. Okay. Where was I? Anyways, a plane flew in from Dubai. A plane, not just like a normal plane, like a 300, 400 person plane, like a double decker plane.
500 plane. 500
person. A huge plane landed. I guess 100 people on the bottom of the plane, like on the first level of the plane, were sick. But then also I heard that it was just 10 people. So it was like a little bit of a confusing news situation.
Yeah. The final count is that it actually was 100, but like 100 people complained of illness.
Like, I have a headache. Okay, every time I fly on a plane, I get a headache and a stomach ache and I want
to
die.
Next to me, I'd be like, oh, I'd complain of illness. I'd be like, this is gross.
It would be like someone barfs, you barf just because of the barf.
Yes, exactly. Anyway, go on.
I mean, I just feel like whenever you're on a plane, you feel like shit. I would feel, if everybody was like dying, I'd be like, I also feel bad, but it would probably just be me like being on a plane for too long, you know?
They're like, Lindsay, but you're not actually sick. We did a blood test. And it's like, yeah, I've been sitting next to poop for 6 hours.
Sitting next to poop. Okay. So they landed this plane, blah, blah, blah. Everybody was like, oh no, contagion plane. I have a question. Is the plane still contagioned? Did they get off the plane?
They're off the plane.
And what was the problem?
People are saying it was probably influenza. So it says the rest of the passengers were released after evaluations. Only 3 passengers and 7 crew members were actually taken to a hospital. Everyone else was just released.
Okay. So one of the people that was released, who wasn't sick, who claims he was on the second row of people that didn't get sick, was, I guess, Vanilla Ice.
Vanilla Ice, yeah.
It's kind of great that whenever anything happens, there's always like a minor celebrity involved who tweets about it. And everyone's like, wait, you were there? And he's like, yeah. So Vanilla Ice tweets like, I'm on this plane. Like, it's crazy.
They're not letting us out. And there are ambulances all over the tarmac. Meanwhile, like the AP is on the tarmac taking photos of the plane. So you're seeing 2 sides, the APs and Vanilla Ice's, which is a very cool binary.
Right. I only want my news from like the AP and like a minor celebrity.
Yes.
You know.
But he's fine. Your boyfriend, or not boyfriend, the guy you're seeing.
Wow, way to downplay that. So if he's listening, he doesn't get uncomfortable.
Well, she said that. I don't want to say the
Did
boyfriend.
Did you call me really your boyfriend him. On a call-in to a podcast that I don't listen to 100%?
I'm sorry. If she says that this boyfriend doesn't typically know about stories about Vanilla Ice and Contagion Plane, he does not listen to Who Weekly.
We never talk about either of those things.
And if her boyfriend listened to Who Weekly, she would have led with that.
You put like a funny update on Vanilla Ice. I honestly don't care, because the only update on Vanilla Ice I need is that he doesn't have the flu.
Oh yeah, he doesn't have the flu. Yeah.
Okay, great.
Hold on.
I mean, my best guess is that this was either meningitis or encephalitis, and with encephalitis, we're in the dark a lot of the time. If it was summer, I might say a bug bite, you know, West Nile. Herpes can cause encephalitis.
She didn't have herpes. What are you talking about? Okay. What happened to her? What happened to her?
Okay.
I love that. Me when I find out Gwyneth Paltrow's dead.
There's like no iconic scene in Contagion. It's just the whole movie.
When the bat poops is the most iconic scene in Contagion.
When the bat poops on the pig and you're like, no!
Isn't that literally the last scene of the movie?
Yes, there's like a montage of the bat of the whole thing. It's like
the bat poops goes on the pig. She goes to the hotel.
But doesn't she like
eats the pig?
She goes back into the kitchen too. Like that's part of it. Like she's like VIP, so she right?
She tastes. I think she gets a special taste of the contagion pig.
Yeah, she's like, love it. I love Contagion. I love bat shit on pig ass. Okay.
And then Kate Winslet dies too. Oh my God, everyone dies in Contagion except Matt Damon.
Interesting. Yeah, and then his daughter goes to prom. Okay, I don't care. Play the next call.
Marion Cotillard is like, what's up? Doesn't she get kidnapped? Okay, moving on.
There could just be a podcast that's like two people trying to remember a movie they've seen and love, but don't, like, haven't seen for a while.
Hello. I'm calling because I just wanted to know more about Christina Milian and M. Pokora. I find Christina Milian to be quite fascinating because, like, she had, I don't really know what she does, because she, like, had a 2004 hit called Dip It Low. That was fun. And then she, like, I think she was in a Nick Cannon movie. She was in a movie with Nick Cannon, or something like that. I don't know. And then I think that she's, like, she was married to The Dream, and she was on Dancing with the Stars, and she dated Lil Wayne. But, like, has she really, like, had... I just don't really know if she's done anything more significant, and I was wondering if she, like, has she really made a two-decade career out of being kind of, like, this girl that does special appearances places. Like, I've seen her, like, she's best friends with Karrueche Tran, I think, but, like, it's been a long time of her, like, not doing anything. And then also, who is her boyfriend, M. Pokora? I saw his name, and he looks quite handsome. He was there, were on TMZ because their home, who, a little bit to us. So please let us know. Thanks.
Okay, so Christina Milian, I love her too, because she's like everywhere and nowhere. It's like, what does she do? And I know she had, like, you know, her pop hits, but then it's also kind of like, she really does feel like sometimes she's everywhere. And I think that really came to fruition when I was saying this to Bobby earlier, and he said, save it to the podcast. Do you remember when Christina Milian was on The Voice, but she wasn't a judge? She was like the social media correspondent.
I do. That was the best thing because she was never in the room.
And they cut her role. That doesn't exist anymore. No one has that job. And it used to be like, let's cut to Christina Milian and like the Sprint PCS mobile like tweet room. And she'd be like, I'm Christina Milian. And like, here's a tweet from you. And it'd be like, I love so-and-so, like hashtag blah, blah, blah. And she'd be like, okay, back to you, Carson, or like whatever. Mm-hmm. And it was just the weirdest, very purely mid-2000s example of like people trying to integrate social media onto television, which like literally never, ever, ever works.
Remember when that was Carson Daly's job on the Today Show? But yes. Then he just like became a regular anchor because they were like, this is stupid. He still sort of does that, but it's like, you can't make an entire job for this specific thing.
Right.
Lindsay, before we get into why we're talking about her, tell me some more interesting stuff about Christina Milian.
Okay. Apparently in 2015, she had a reality show on E!, which I didn't watch. And then she's like the busiest person alive, I think. Like, this is actually wild. I can't stop seeing things about her that she's done. She was the judge on a show called Superhuman that I never watched, which is fine. Just because we don't know these things does not mean it's not a value judgment. It's just like, I didn't know she was doing all these things. And then I went to her Instagram because I was like, actually, I see her a lot of Instagram. Like, what is she doing on Instagram? And literally her bio is every single company that she's involved in, like owns or support, you know, co-owns or whatever. And she has a jewelry company she does. She has a Facebook agency partner that she runs with a guy named Josh or something. It's called Personal Technologies. Weird. She has a wine company owned by Christina and Carmen Milian, along with publicist Robin Santiago. You can buy her wine. She also owns a travel something, or just she has an account in which she travels. And then she also either stars on or co-produces a 50 Cent show that airs on Crackle. So
Crackle, a Crackle original?
Christina Milian is literally the busiest person ever, and yet I don't know anything that she's busy doing. That doesn't mean anything. Again, she just is very busy.
She's very, very busy. I mean, anyone who owns a social media company with someone named Josh must be
completely without extra time, spare time.
I mean, it's just crazy. It's like you expect her to have the wine, you expect her to have the travel, you expect her to have the gold jewelry line. But this one persona, internet company, Facebook agency partner, apps, chatbots, AI, and AR by Josh Bo, because I'm reading his Instagram name, by Josh. Oh my God, by this guy named Josh and Christina Milian, featured in MTV, Forbes, New York Times, and more. So it's like, I'm not going to dive any deeper into this, but I'm just going to have to believe it and say like, wow, Christina Milian owns a Facebook agency partner.
But that's not what we're talking about right now. The reason we're talking about Christina Milian is because she can't stop getting robbed. She and her boyfriend.
I mean, maybe the person is looking at her Instagram being like, this woman better have a lot of money. She has so many companies.
Well, it's funny that you bring up Instagram because that's one of the reasons people are speculating she keeps getting robbed. Because she keeps Instagramming whenever she's not home.
Well, she has literally a travel Instagram.
Yeah. So
they're following Instagram.com/moremilian where you get to see where she travels.
I mean, people should have learned this a long time ago. Kendall Jenner, I believe, is the one who spoke out about this really loudly where she was like, or no, it was Kylie.
Don't.
She was like,
post when I'm actually traveling because.
I don't post. I airplane mode all of my Instagrams. So yeah. They're just like drafted up top.
Mm-hmm.
And then I post them once I'm back home so that no one knows when she is places.
And you're
I feel
saying
like that's sort of,
she
that's
got
sort
robbed.
Of fame 101.
And you're saying she got robbed many times. She got robbed just twice in one
twice.
Week.
Twice.
In one week, though.
In one week by very else? Clever robbers.
Who else was robbed around the same time, too? Someone else was robbed, too.
Bella Thorne?
Yeah, Wiz Bella Khalifa, Thorne. All robbed.
Ray Srummerd?
Basically, do not post when you're on vacation.
The Ray Srummerd thing was different because that was an armed robbery. So like people like ran in like with weapons. The other people were robbed sort of with the intention of going into an empty house, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like they assumed no one was home and they wanted to get in and get out.
Same.
And again, I think it was a situation where they just knew, they knew that Bella Thorne wasn't home. They knew that Wiz Khalifa wasn't home. They knew that Christina Milian wasn't
thinking,
home.
I didn't rob Christina Milian, but I keep thinking of myself looking at Christina Milian's Instagram being like, wow, I didn't know Christina Milian had so much going on. Like, I should go rob her. that's the journey of the person where it's like, whoa, like, she must, like, there must be a lot of good stuff in that house.
She's busy.
She's busy.
She's getting paid.
I don't think she was busy, but she's busy.
Let's talk about, speaking of busy, let's talk about her boyfriend,
so,
M. Pokora, whose real name is Matthew Tota.
Her ex-husband is The Dream.
Yes.
The song,
iconically,
singer,
her ex-husband is The Dream.
They I don't know what the deal with the relationship was, but it ended kind of badly, I think.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't that great of an ending. And now she's dating this really interesting guy named M. Pokora, whose name is just Matt, I think. He goes by Matt. His name is Matthew.
Yeah, Matthew.
Matthew Tota.
Matthew, but like the French Matthew. Matthew. I-E-U.
Matthew Tota.
Yes.
And he's a French singer. And he also is the
host. He's been in like boy bands.
He's the host of The Voice.
Yeah, once again.
One of the coaches.
So he's the host of The Voice. The other guy that we talked about, Fedez, was the judge on an X Factor.
This guy's got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 albums. Seven albums. Yeah. Did you Google like what do French people think about M. Pokora?
I didn't do that because I feel like he's less interesting. But he has a very like model look. He has one of those like very
he's a
like
hunk.
Chiseled jaw lines. He's kind of a hunk. Everything is very.
No, he is a hunk.
Perfectly coiffed and kept to the point that, I mean, he just looks like a model. He looks like a model.
Yeah,
because he is, sort of.
He said he was searching for an artistic name and happened to be talking to his grandmother of Polish origin. And she said Pokora. Tota immediately decided to adopt the word as his stage name and shorten his first name to Matt. It means humility in Polish.
Thank you, Matt. I mean, thank you, Matt's grandma. Thank you, Matt's Polish grandma. That's great.
And he was in a French R&B group called Mike Unity. God, Mike Unity.
Mike Beautiful. Unity.
And he was in that boy group. Well, let's see, hold on. Oh, he was the judge on a show called Pop Stars that helped make boy bands. So he's been a judge on these reality shows for music for a long time. And that actually might be why he still is kind of relevant, because I gotta say, these shows, I feel like I've said this before, these music competition shows keep irrelevant people relevant for a long time. Like,
they really do.
Like, they really bring people back.
That's their number one job.
You know what I mean? Like, not to be rude to Christina Aguilera, but when she wasn't doing anything, not that she wasn't a famous name and people did know who she was, but she was blatantly not doing anything, and she went on The Voice, and then she was like very, very relevant again. She was
doing something. Right. She was doing something.
But not just doing something, like showed her personality, showed her talent, got a very, an amazing opportunity for like a comeback essentially from that.
Next thing you know, she's performing a song at the end of the film, Life of the Party.
Wait, what song? Oh, she's actually Stronger. I forgot. You'll never let that down. The worst
movie I've ever seen in my
life.
Well,
next thing she knew, she was on Moves Like Jagger, and then she had to release her own album, which, you know, no comment.
Was a flop. You know, it was a flop. We call it a flop. We call a flop on this show, and it was a flop.
We call a flop a flop. All right.
Moving on.
Hi, Jamila Jamil of The Good Place fame. Who or them? Thanks, bye.
Who or them? Who? I think who?
Who?
Yeah.
Wait, who?
Jamila Jamil.
Who? She's a who.
She's a who.
She's a who making waves, though.
And if anyone on that show is on the fast track to becoming a them, on The Good Place, I mean, it's her.
Oh, for sure.
She's the character everyone loves.
Well, she's also just a beautiful woman.
She's gorgeous.
And really funny and has a great personality. She gives great quote, which we'll get to, and has a point of view.
She's also, no offense to Americans, but she's also British, which means like she just sounds smarter. So when she gives interviews about, you know, actual like political things or provide social commentary, she's very articulate in a way that Americans are not always.
Yeah.
So when Jamila Jamil is talking about like the patriarchy, you're like, damn, true. That's correct. Like, yeah. But like when Kim Kardashian talks about the patriarchy, you're like,
well, we just sound stupid because we're stupid. But I will say,
but that's my own like American problem where I just believe anything said with a British accent.
So you mentioned it, you kind of glossed over it. But she recently did say some stuff about the patriarchy. You weren't just saying, she's out there saying things about the patriarchy. Jamila Jamil has said a lot of things about Kardashians, especially. But it's funny because it's like she's doing it in a way that's so smart and so thoughtful that they can't even like clap back to her, because it's like, you know, Kim came for like Chloe Grace Moretz when Chloe Grace Moretz like said something. She was like, what did you say about me? This way, it's really hard because Jamila Jamil is saying it in such a smart way where she's like, it's not about... it's not about like self, like body positive. Like she kind of explains why it's not, because obviously the argument to, you should be this, like you're not a good example for kids or you're not da 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 is, well, it's my body and I should be able to do whatever I want. And that's feminist in its own, you know, that's feminist too. She's kind of arguing against that point already.
She's saying it's not.
Yeah.
And she's saying that they are,
I'm not even smart enough like to argue.
Stand-ins. She's like, they're stand-ins for the patriarchy. They are just because they're, she's like, just because you are a woman and you're talking about women's doesn't mean you can't be supporting the patriarchy. And she's saying that they are doing that by, quote, selling us self-consciousness.
I mean, should play saying, like, it. She says it better than we're saying
I'll play it here. But basically her point is their product that they sell and have been selling for years is self-consciousness. And what she means by that is it's like, let's make young women, girls as self-conscious as possible about their body, about their personality, about their brand, about their lifestyle, so that they buy these things, they do these things, they live this way. And she has been like over the past few months, maybe about a year,
very much
Kim like points out Kardashian social media posts and it's like, this is bad, this is bad, this is bad. And she recently was on BBC Radio Channel 4 Radio and explained herself very well, better than I possibly could, because again, she's British.
The double agent for the patriarchy is basically just a woman who perhaps unknowingly is still putting the patriarchal narrative out into the world, is still benefiting off, profiting off, and selling a patriarchal narrative to other women. But it's a wolf in sheep's clothing. You know, just because you look like a woman, we trust you and we think you're on our side. But you are selling us something that really doesn't make us feel good. You're selling us an ideal, a body shape, a problem with our wrinkles, a problem with aging, a problem with gravity, a problem with any kind of body fat. You're selling us self-consciousness.
Well, it's just funny because it's like you could do this stuff and get one hit from it and kind of just like ride that hit where it's like, because the Kardashians are easy targets because they're so famous. You know, you can kind of like, you can like give a little poke. And you're fine and you get a little bit of a bump and they get whatever. But she is like actively doing a dangerous thing, which is kind of like doing it over and over and over again, which like could make her look bad in a way, but because mm-hmm. she's so smart and thoughtful and really like knows what she's talking about, it doesn't actually make her look bad at all. Even yeah. if you don't agree with her, like even if you don't necessarily think what she's saying is right, the way that she's saying it and kind of the persistence and how she's going about it is very good. I mean, it's hard to kind of argue against or yeah, like
they can't, they are there. Their response to this, because there's no way they haven't had like several meetings with their PR about this. Silence. Their response is almost certainly don't say anything.
Don't say anything.
Because you can't win against her. You can't win against this argument and you can't win against a British person.
Right.
You
know? Like for every time Jamila Jamil speaks, Kim Kardashian will like get somebody out of jail. Like that's like, her only response is like to do like something, some, not that, again, not that what she's saying is even making that big of a blip because she's not that famous.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
She's not. She's not.
It's not like it's, you know, Chrissy Teigen or like somebody coming out and saying something about the Kardashians. It's someone yeah. on a relatively small show who no one's really ever heard of. Again, love the show, love her, but saying a little something. So it's going to take a lot more for her to mm-hmm. get to that level where the Kardashians would even respond, maybe.
Yeah.
You know?
I just love when British people complain about American culture. In, like, very articulate ways, like Emma Thompson. Did you ever see that video of Emma Thompson talking about, like, Me Too?
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, my God, you're so much smarter than any of our, like, iconic legend actresses.
I mean,
like, Meryl Streep could never.
British people have their own set of smut that they can attend to also. I know. Like,
but it makes
whatever.
Me feel good as an American.
That what?
I'm like, thanks for your support. Thanks for like, saying this better than our people can.
But is there anything else about Jamila Jamil
Although,
that
like,
we
I mean,
should
maybe,
know?
Maybe all Britons want is for me to go on a rant about Theresa May or like Brexit. You know, maybe that's all they want. If you're British and you want that, tell me. I won't be able to provide
do,
it, but tell me you
gonna,
want it.
I was going to say, do you have to like study up or something?
Tell me you want it. Like maybe Britons love it when like Jimmy Fallon complains about Brexit. They're like, oh, that's what we needed. Like, a strong American accent.
I mean, we
complaining
did complain about
Brexit.
Americans had a lot to say about Brexit. Like,
what I'm saying is, maybe they loved it. This is getting incomprehensible. So let's move on. Speaking of Americans and politics,
Piper Perabo got arrested at the Capitol, the Supreme Court. I don't really know where it was. Anyway, I thought you guys should know. Good form, Bella Thorne. Bye.
So another amazing news story that happened that had no celebrity element. And then like later on in the day, just like the contagion plane, somebody was like, hey, Piper Perabo was there. And suddenly I was like, what? Just kidding.
Lindsay's like, I don't care. I don't care. I don't care. Then Piper Perabo is mentioned and you're like, stop, Justice Kavanaugh. No to Kavanaugh.
No, what? No, excuse me. It's just having this business that we are in. It's like you got to have two brains. It's like I have like the brain that cares about all the like shitty stuff going on in our country and our world. And that brain has to be separate from the who brain, because when they mush together, then it just doesn't make any sense. Yeah. Like it just doesn't. You can't get to the point of anything if you're smushing together like Bella Thorne's latest single or something and, you know, the new Supreme Court justice hearings, like, or whatever, you know, the confirmation hearings. Like, you just can't yeah. smush them.
Yeah, that's true.
You'll go crazy. So what happens is when they do smush, like Piper Perabo
you
getting arrested, you're like, what's more important? What does it mean that it's your job? So it's difficult.
Piper Perabo was at the Senate office buildings earlier this week at the Kavanaugh hearings, and she was one of the many, many protesters. Most of them were women, by the way. Shout out to our politically active ladies.
Shout out to
women.
Most
of them were women who went and took it upon themselves to be like, fuck this dude. And she got arrested. So did a lot of people. And she tweeted about it. And people noticed because... People watch Covert Affairs. Covert Affairs was big. People like Coyote Ugly.
Yeah,
they
and it
treasure
was
Piper
it was
Perabo.
Piper Perabo. It was Piper Perabo and the women who dressed as the Handmaid's Tale ladies who made the real splash at these hearings. And they were arrested. And, you know, good for Piper Perabo. I don't even know what to say about this. It's like, good for Piper Perabo.
I know. Doing her civic duty. I didn't go to the Supreme Court hearings.
Yeah, well, maybe you should
Piper
have.
Piper Perabo did more. Is that a... I feel like there could be a rhyme. Piper Perabo went to the hill. If you can think of a rhyme about Piper Perabo getting arrested on Capitol Hill,
are you saying that because Piper Perabo's name sounds like it should be like the name? It's like Peter Piper picked a Perabo pepper.
Piper Perabo sounds like a nursery rhyme. But I love this photo that she posted of her, this like selfie of her looking lovingly at the Supreme Court because she just like loves the Supreme Court and she doesn't want Kavanaugh on it. And it says, "I love America more than any other country in the world." And exactly for this reason, I insist on the right to criticize her perpetually. James A. Baldwin.
No, it's great. It's great because it's the celebrities who protest or, you know, they always get called unpatriotic or whatever. And then I love the comeback is like, I fucking love America. Like, I love America. And I just, I love that we, to combat that type of accusation, you have to go above and beyond near patriotism, and then you come out sounding like a little wook, like a little crazy, because because proclaiming your love for America in 2018 is like just a wild thing, you know. So if Piper Perabo,
it's a complicated relationship,
right?
We have a complicated relationship with America, but guess what? I don't have a complicated relationship with Piper Perabo. I love her.
I love her. Wow.
I love this descriptor because people, number one, people has to write about politics. Number two, they have to write out Piper Perabo and her relationship to politics. Number three, they have to write the sentence, "The Coyote Ugly and Covert Affairs star, 41, had been protesting the first day of hearings of the Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh."
You're so right. I didn't even think of it like that.
This is what's crazy. When you click, like, Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh is a hyperlink.
To another.
And you're like, oh, well, to you, what? Typically you would expect them to, like, not even typically, because people, of course, links to themselves. But it's like, you think you're going to get information on Brett Kavanaugh. Maybe we'll go to his, maybe we'll go to somewhere on like the New York Times or the Washington Post or like the AP about like Kavanaugh's stance on anything, like his platform. No, it just links to a People article called "Where Supreme Court Nominee Brett Kavanaugh Stands on Abortion and Other Hot Button Issues."
No, People gets it. People gets it.
Political reporting. They link to their own political reporting.
I wonder, I was actually thinking about this. I wonder how the other tabloids covered it, the ones that aren't necessarily, because People is not owned by American media. So I wonder if the other ones covered it in a more,
We can find this out really easily. So we can look at Us Weekly's version of this.
Do they have it? I'm sure they
Actress
have it.
Piper Perabo arrested for civil disobedience.
Whoa. So that's a little bit of a different.
That's a little bit of a difference because spin. They put the actual.
The crime.
They put the crime in the headline, which is something that people did not do. Mm-hmm. No, but their lead is taking a stand. The headline is the only real difference here.
So there is a little bit of difference, maybe
it's
not
a little bit of a tonal difference, but it's not, it's
not as much. Yeah,
it's not significant.
Not as much. But good to know.
And they also link out to NPR. You know what? They do more than People. So with that, we're done with Piper Perabo at the Supreme Court. Mrs. Perabo, Miss Perabo goes to Washington.
We talked about a lot of issues today.
Got so many issues. We're very political sometimes.
I know. But when we talk about issues, I come off being like, did I sound dumb sometimes? I swear I know stuff.
Probably. That's fine.
Whatever.
So please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. We love it. It helps people find the show. Follow us on Instagram. Follow us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. What else? Oh my God. Call 619-WHO-THEM if you want to leave a question or a comment. And that's it, I think. Right?
Yeah. Are you Italian? Are you French? Do you know more about Matt Pokora or the rapper Fedez than we do? I'm sure you do. Give us a call and let us know. And check us out next week. See you again on Tuesday. Bye.
Are you Piper Perabo? Call in. And we'll see you later. Do you have insider information about A Star Is Born? Again, please call. Let us know.
Yes. See you later. If you have seen Star Is Born, use one of those voice changers and call us.
Yeah, please. Or we'll just use the voice changer when we play your call.
Okay, perfect.
Goodbye. Bye.
You will drain it. Yeah. They want to know. Hey. Yeah.
Hey. Yeah. Hey. Come on. Hey. I want to be famous.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.
I wore my Tecovas, my new brown Tecovas boots, the Chelsea boots, to a dinner a few days ago.
Oh,
and
God,
I got
go.
Complimented. Well, they were great. They fit well, but they got complimented. And I was like, well, they're Spawn, number one. But two, I really do love them. Thank you for complimenting my boots. I love my Tecovas boots. I know Lindsay loves hers, too. I love what Tecovas put in their ad copy here. It's about festival and concert season being all about the boots, especially with a big album that came out very recently that I won't name, but if you love this album, you're gonna this ain't Texas. You're gonna want your Tecovas, you know? This ain't Texas. These Tecovas. They have seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All of their boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. They have first wear comfort, so you don't have to like break them in and wear them in. They're comfortable right out of the box. I can say that from experience. It's true. And their direct-to-consumer pricing keeps value on your feet and money in your pocket. And if you live in a place with a Tecovas store, you should probably go there because they give you a drink, they help you out, they help you pick the perfect boots that you want, and it smells good because there's leather everywhere. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized and regular live music and events, so there's no in-store experience quite like it. But if you can't make it into a store, just go to tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and they ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.